Let's go back to Galatians chapter 3. And tonight I just want you to go through a little bit more of this with me. I hope that you've picked up by now that in Galatians, the Apostle Paul is talking about justification by faith. How is a person made right before God? How can you, when you leave this earth, when you die, stand before God and be sure that your sin is forgiven? And there are multiple ideas out there about how that can take place. You have everything from the person who will say, well, you know, all of these religions go up the same mountain. They just go up from different sides and we all meet God at the top. And so we might have a genuine Hindu over here and he really believes his faith and so he's going to get to God. And here's somebody who's a Buddhist and here's somebody who's a Muslim. And as long as they are you know, really believe what they believe, they're going to get to God. Well, the problem with that is that if you believe the Bible, it is very clear that there is one God and there's one way to God. And that all other ways are deceptive and they are not leading to Him. Now, if we go into that, when we just talk about Christianity in a broad sense, even within Christianity, you have a lot of people who will get mixed up. Because if I were to ask you to give me some input, and we've done this before, how is a person saved? How do they know for sure that they're on their way to heaven? How, in Christianity, what answers might we get? Well, there are some who would say, well, you need to be baptized to get into heaven. Others would say we join the church and get into heaven. Many others would say, and in our Sunday school class this morning, we studied Methodist. And a Methodist would say, well, look, if you do good works and you're really sincere in what you believe within Christianity, you're going to get to heaven. And you could find others that will put parameters on it, that if you get saved and then you're faithful to the Lord, then you'll get to heaven. The Apostle Paul was really, I'll use the term, exercised by these beliefs that were outside of simple, clear justification by faith. And we've seen that in the first two chapters, and then when we get into chapter 3, it just continues. That he is really bothered by this idea that a person can be justified, they can be right with God, any other way than through faith. And as he comes to chapter 3, this morning we went through five questions that he asked in the first five verses. And the intent was to bring them to a logical conclusion that you were saved by grace through faith, and that when somebody comes in and says, now you need to keep the law in order to have a complete salvation, that doesn't work. You didn't get the Spirit by keeping the law. You were not saved by keeping the law. You do not have any history that tells you that a person who keeps the law can be saved. And so I'm going to point you back to that simple justification by faith. But here's where we're going to go now. Although the Galatians were not Jewish believers, there may have been some who were Jewish because there was a Jewish contingency in Galatia. Most of them probably were Gentiles, but they were concerned about what the Jewish people were saying. And their contention was that we've had this Jewish religion for all of these years, and now you're wanting us to turn away from that and believe something else. And that's the way the Jewish people were presenting it. They were saying to these people, how can you expect me to turn away from everything I've known in the Old Testament and go this direction that you're asking me to go? And so the Apostle Paul says, I need to answer that for you. I need to clarify your thinking again on part of this because you're missing something. They have gotten you to thinking the way that they want you thinking and you're not following what the Old Testament said. And so what I want you to do is go back to this, and you would have all of this chapter, and into chapter 4 would be a vindication of justification by faith. In order, he's going to defend the position of justification by faith. And in the first five verses, he did it by saying, I'm going to defend justification by faith by pointing to the experience of the Galatian believers. Then when he gets to chapters or verses 6 through 9, I want you to go back to the Old Testament and I want to defend justification by faith by going back to Abraham. And remember the question is, well, what do we do with this whole Old Testament? It's almost as if you want to take this Old Testament and you want me just to give it a good heave-ho and it's gone. and I believe something totally new and we just start over. And Paul's contention is, no, I don't want you to do that at all. As a matter of fact, I want you to go back to the Old Testament and I want you to see how the Old Testament itself, not only your experience as believers where you've seen the miracles that were done and you've heard the preaching and you've responded, you've suffered for your faith, and your experience has proven to you that justification by faith is real, but I want you to see that this was clearly God's plan from the beginning. And we're not taking the Old Testament and giving it the heave-ho. We're going to take the Old Testament and say this is proving what we're saying. And so let's go to verse 6 and read from verses 6 through 9. And in verses 6 through 9, we're going to have the example of Abraham. And just a simple truth that I want you to get tonight that I want you to hang on to. So verse 6, let's read that and just get it out on the table so we can understand it. It says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness," or "it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the sons or children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Now, interestingly, in that last verse, verse 9, when it says, "So then, they which are be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham," that is also sometimes translated, "blessed with the believer Abraham." And that probably makes more sense to us if we think of it that way, that we're blessed with the believer Abraham. Now, let me ask for your input. I like to do that, especially on Sunday night, make sure you're awake and alert here. How would you summarize verses 6 through 9? Perhaps we should do this. Let me read this again. And as I read this again, will you really try to comprehend what is he saying and put into a shorter statement, what is Paul's argument in verses 6 through 9? What is it that he's saying to us about this justification by faith issue? All right, verse 6 again. "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with the believer Abraham," or faithful Abraham. Okay? Summarize that for me. What is the point that he's trying to make to the Galatian believers? Anybody want to take a shot at that? Joe? Very good. Yep. Todd? There you go. Yeah. What you said at the very end is what he's trying to focus their attention on. They're getting the feeling, like I said, that as these Judaizers, the Jewish people, come up, and we call them Judaizers, they're trying to convert people to Judaism, the law, as they come up, they give this impression, "I can't believe you guys are abandoning the Old Testament. I can't believe you're wanting to jettison the law out and just not obey the law anymore. How can you do that? How can you just ignore all of our history and say that the law doesn't matter anymore?" And Paul comes up and he says, "Let me point something else out to you. I've already pointed out to you that you guys have been saved by grace through faith. You received the Holy Spirit. God clearly demonstrated that when we were there through miracles and through preaching, and you even suffered for your faith. I've demonstrated that to you through your experience already. Let me point something else out to you that you seem to be missing. You're in good company. Who else was saved," although that's not the Old Testament terminology, "through faith? Abraham. And it's as though these people had lost everything from Moses back, that they forgot the whole book of Genesis. They're only seeing from Moses on, where Moses and the law, and their whole Old Testament picture is right here. They have blinders on, and all they see is Moses. And Paul says, I want to go back further than Moses. I want you to take the blinders off and realize that this whole issue of faith is not something that's new. You're getting the feeling that all of the Old Testament is based upon law. Well, the bulk of it is. Most of the history we have is from Moses on. We have Job probably that was not, and Genesis that was not in that. But prior to the law, Abraham was declared righteous not by his works, but by faith. And so if you want to identify with somebody in the Old Testament, you've got these Judaizers who are coming in and saying, we follow Moses. I can't believe you're not following Moses. We go all the way back to the Old Testament, Moses and the law. And you've got to believe Moses and the law. Why don't you just look at him and say, I'm with Abraham. What do you mean you're with Abraham? Well, Abraham didn't have the law. And there's a verse that I want to point out to you. And Paul begins with it. Look at the first verse there, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Apart from the first three words, where does the rest of that verse come from? You probably have a little note in the margin of your Bible. Well, not Leviticus. Anybody have it? Genesis 15:6. Yeah. If we were to go back and read Genesis 15:6, this is a direct quote from the Old Testament. Paul is taking the Scripture, and if you have notes in the margin of your Bible, just glance at it, because you're going to see that over the course of the next several verses, Paul is going to open up the Old Testament and say, let's go ahead and delve into that. Let's go ahead and just start looking through the Old Testament Scriptures. And he's going to talk about Genesis 15:6, Genesis 12:3, Deuteronomy 27:26, Habakkuk 2:4, Leviticus 18:15, and Deuteronomy 21:23. He's going to say, if you want to have an Old Testament argument, let's go. Because while you're getting the feeling that if you go back to the Old Testament, that the Judaizers are trying to give you the impression that if you believe by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have to throw everything else out, that couldn't be further from the truth. Now let's go to this and just briefly read the verse and make sure we understand what he's saying. In verse 6, he says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted or reckoned to him for righteousness. How did Abraham obtain righteousness? Did he obtain it through circumcision? What do you know about that? Anybody got a timetable on it? There you go. Genesis 17:24 is where he was circumcised. Genesis 15 was well before that. And here is God looking at Abraham and saying that he believed God. That's simply what we would describe as faith. He believed God's promise to him. And because he believed God's promises to him, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. He was considered a righteous man through his faith, through his belief. And when you are going to push this issue of circumcision, that that's what makes a man righteous, got your timetable problem here. Because Abraham did not go through circumcision until years later. And so if you want to be in really good company when you're claiming justification by faith, just go back and say, Abraham. He's the one that I'm going to claim as my predecessor to justification by faith. I keep going in that passage because there's another interesting statement that he makes here. Go to verse 7 and let's read down through there. In verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the sons of Abraham. So there's his point. He said if you want to claim a family of faith, people who are saved by faith, just claim Abraham. And then verse 8, and the Scripture, a little comma here, so there's an insert, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, the Scripture preached before the gospel unto Abraham, preached before all the other things happened, preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all the nations be blessed. That is from Genesis 12:3. That's the Abrahamic promise. That God said, I'm going to bless all the nations through Abraham. Now, here's the question. In this passage, he says that the Scripture, and by the way, he's equating the Scripture with God speaking, so it's a proof of inspiration here. He says the Scripture preached the gospel unto Abraham. What does he mean by that? What is the gospel? When we think of the gospel, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ as being the Savior, the good news that the Lord Jesus Christ has died so our sin can be placed upon Him and His righteousness upon us. So how was it that the gospel was preached unto Abraham? It's a little bit tricky here. Mark? Okay. Okay. Yeah, the Messiah would come. Yeah, that He would provide the sacrifice. Okay, it's a good guess. Okay, Bob? Okay, all right. Let's just take the first part of what you said. What does the word gospel mean? Good news. And so instead of translating it, and in our minds, and it's correct 99% of the time when we think of the gospel, we think of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not sure exactly why they translated it this way, but it is evangelizo, which means good news. And it says here, basically, if we read it that way, that God preached before the good news to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. It really isn't the gospel in the sense of the Lord Jesus Christ, although it's implied in all of that. Abraham knew that there was going to be a Messiah. But he said, through Abraham, or before Abraham, I preached the good news that, you know what, Abraham? Through you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Everyone on earth is going to have the opportunity to be saved. They're going to be blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. And sure enough, years down the road, Jesus Christ was born, He died on the cross, and every person has the opportunity to trust Him as Savior. That prophecy came true in a ringing fashion, that every one of us had the opportunity to trust Christ as Savior. Go down to verse 9 then. In verse 9 it says, so then, they which be of faith are blessed with the believer Abraham, or with faithful Abraham. And so here is the verses 6 through 9, and here's what I wanted you to get and what I want you to think on tonight. That sometimes we, even in our thinking, we distance ourselves from the Old Testament. We don't believe the law anymore, so we don't believe the Old Testament. Is that true? Not at all. As a matter of fact, what's going to happen is, if you'll just glance down in verses 10 through 12, he's going to go back and talk about the law. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. And he says, you know, the law is a schoolmaster that's going to bring us to Christ. And if you're under the law, you're under the curse of sin. And he said the law did have a place. The law shows us how much we need a Savior. And he's going to say, you believe the law. And I believe the law so firmly that I know if I'm placed under the law, I have no hope because I can't save myself. I can't keep the law. I need help. I need Christ. But he said, you know, folks, sometimes we get the feeling that we don't have anything to do with the Old Testament. The fact is that when we go back to Abraham and we study him, that he was a man who exercised faith, and his faith was what was counted to him for righteousness. His salvation exactly the same way that we're saved today. His righteousness was given to him because of his faith. Not because of his works, not because of his obedience even to the command, not because he left his home, not because of the things that he did, but it was the simple fact that he believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And you know, what an example. Normally we think of, if we're going to have to get an example of New Testament salvation, of belief, of justification through faith, that we're going to go to the New Testament and get it. We're going to get a Nicodemus, or we're going to get a Paul, or we're going to get a Timothy or Titus. But Paul says, you know, folks, I can take you back to Genesis, prior to Moses, and I can point to this man and say, you're in good company. This is the message of the Bible as a whole, that justification is by faith. Justification is by faith alone. not by works, not by circumcision, not by keeping the law. Justification is you coming to the place where you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved. And the proof of that comes way back, before the law, before Moses, with Abraham. We're in good company. You and I just have to come to the place where we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and we're saved. And the Old Testament was the precursor to all that. The law was to point out to us how much we needed Christ and how much Christ has done for us and the fact that we're not under compulsion to keep it in order to be saved. That is a blessing to us, and that's something that you and I continually need to remember. Let's bow for prayer, please. Now, Father, thank you for the time you've given us. And Lord, this evening we thank you that we have the opportunity to take your word and to apply it to our lives. And Lord, as the Apostle Paul argues for justification by faith, Lord, you've given us that same need to understand that our righteousness is not a result of works. Our righteousness is not a result of our own effort, but it is simply responding to the call of the Holy Spirit that we would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray that you will help us to do just that. In Jesus' name, amen.